Doctor. It's Clobber time.
Engage.
Shazam!
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, the issue 57. And for those of you in the know, and I'm going to let everybody know, this is our one-year anniversary. When this drops on Monday or Tuesday on February 24th, 25th, somewhere around there, it will be our one-year anniversary. So Kane and I have been doing this and having a blast doing this for a year now. So I want to thank everybody for downloading, subscribing, you know, all the good, happy stuff. And Kane, how are you doing there, my friend?
Remarkable that we've actually made a year.
Yes, we have. Right?
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing this 1 year. It's pretty freaking amazing. And it's been a pleasure. A lot of joy. A lot of good moments, a lot of sad moments, but above all else, I really enjoy doing this.
Yeah, it has been fun.
1 year later.
A little screaming here and there. But you know what? That's what makes us us.
Yeah,
we were talking about doing something special for the 1 year, but I realized we sat down and I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? We're going to make the 100 episode, the big blowout. So we're going to wait a little bit longer. I think this is more of just a personal triumph for Kane and I today, being, you know, a year. And again, thank you guys. There's a million podcasts out there. 1,000 of them are in our niche. And you chose to listen to us. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And
yep,
of course,
thank you.
Continue to show the support through any, whatever podcast group you listen to us or program you listen to us. You know, if there's a way of voting, please vote and say thank you. They're doing a good job. We've got some people out there doing it on iPad or on the iTunes. It doesn't do much for us, guys, just to put you at ease. It's nice to see that we're there or that people are listening. And also join in if you guys are listeners. Join in on the Facebook group and on our heroesasylum.com because we got all tons of stuff there.
Oh, lots of goodies. Lots of people connecting on there too, which is good to see.
Yeah, it is. Yes. So, but basically, we're going to do business as usual, kind of run through the news that's gathered over the week. It seems like it's been a fairly busy week, from what I can see. I know Kane's got his compiling of stuff. I've got a few myself. But we're going to go ahead and jump through that. Just so you know, a little news in the future of the show, this show, not, you know, next week's show, but this show, we're not going to do a Legends of the Long Box this week. Thought we're going to save that up. It was kind of a slow week. I was kind of itching or digging into trying to find stuff to read. There's only a couple of books that came out. And even those books really didn't interest me. I even delved into, I even pulled up the indie list to see if maybe there's a couple in indie list. And there were a couple of new ones on there, so I thought I'd try those out next week.
But yeah, that's a good bet. I got a stack that I have to get through. So
yeah. So we'll go ahead and do that next week. But let's go ahead and get into what we do every week on the Admissions Ward. It was our new segment where we cover everything from the Geekverse, the Nerdiverse, if you want to call it that. But here we go.
News from the Admissions Ward.
All right. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take this one. This started off a little different. We're going to start off talking about Star Trek. We don't really delve that much into Star Trek because there hasn't been much news. Yes, there's been Discovery. Yes, there's been Picard, and Kane and I both, you know, are fans of Picard. We both have watched that. But last week, Viacom CBS CEO Bob Bakish actually confirmed during the company's 2019 earnings call that two more Star Trek television shows are in the works currently. These are on top of the Star Trek Discovery and also Picard, which they are continuing. They did just announce Discovery's third season, some promotional art, which looks kind of cool. And of course, Picard's, you know, knocking it out of the park as far as I'm concerned. But they also announced they're doing a Star Trek Lower Decks, Star Trek Section 31, which Section 31 has been kicking around for decades. And then, which I think is a smart move, that this next one is an untitled Nickelodeon Star Trek animated series, which I know for me growing up, Star Trek was, I got into it when I was younger. And I think that's what Star Trek now is missing, is they're missing that youth grab, you know, grab them when they're younger and get them hooked into this world. But also on top of that, Bakish also said they have confirmed the next installment of the Star Trek film series is being developed by Paramount. No word on whether it's a continuation or if they're going to branch off and do another Star Trek world, or if they're going to revamp them all together. So we're still waiting on news of that. But Star Trek is still growing. It's not just going to be on the CBS streaming service. There's going to be other options out there for people to get their Trekkie fix.
Yeah, I think it's a good move, especially the streaming service-wise thing. You know, for a while, like them or hate them, I've liked the JJ movies. I thought they were pretty good. I actually liked the last one, Star Trek Beyond, which I thought was really good. It reminded me of like the old style of the series, but smart move for those guys to continue to streaming Picard, you know, like it or hate it, because I know a lot of people with the diehard Trekkies, they hate it, but I like it. Discovery was kind of hit or miss for me. I thought it was okay, but if they're going to branch out doing an animated series, very smart by their rules, you know, just get the kiddies involved, got to get those young eyes involved in Star Trek, because for the longest time, the Star Trek universe was just convoluted with so many manuals, so many movies, you didn't know which connected to what. And somehow with their streaming service, they're kind of connecting it tangentially to the old stuff, but while creating new content, which I think is kind of smart.
Well, so Star Trek always was a connected universe. There was, it was maybe towards when they started doing the JJ crap, that's when it got all a little wonky.
Yeah, well, the Kelvin verse and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, once they started that. But the prior verse, I mean, that's where they had the manuals and stuff, because it was more tech based than Star Wars, you know, and that's where that great divide came from. Was Star Trek was the techie, you know, they put true science in it, and Star Wars was about some mystical power that's, you know, around us and binds us. And so,
yeah, and then Trek is more about, you know, treaty meetings, not, you know, fighting was the last thing they wanted to do. It's all about discovering new worlds, new aliens, and creating relationships. That was the biggest thing about Star Trek.
Yeah, so a lot of semicircles. Yes, for you. You and your semicircles.
You know, I would go crazy if I seen any more semicircle meetings. There's like too many of them, the prequels. Oh, God. But, yeah, smart move. I like I said, keep going. Keep moving forward with Star Trek. I honestly don't think they need to do films at this moment, you know, because their streaming stuff is so successful right now. I would rather they just stay in that world.
Well, I think they're just now talking about the Star Trek series, I think this is so like pre-development. So we're probably not even going to see until another 3 years. Like even a trailer, probably not until, you know, 2023. So that's cool. I'm good with that. Start thinking about what you're going to do, but build the television basis again, because again that was their bread and butter. That's where they came from.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just stay at home. You know, if you're good at something, you know, stay there. Just do it like you've done it before. And like you said, the TV universe is what they came from. Then they branch off from the film. So stay right there in that streaming service and just keep building that universe from the ground up, and then make people want to see Star Trek in the films again.
Yep.
You know, because the last couple times they've come out, you know, I liked, like I said, Beyond. That wasn't well received. Didn't make a lot of money. And I think one of the reasons why was the bad taste for Into Darkness, which I kind of liked. But, you know, like the diehard Trekkie fans, and you know them very well.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them, and I've accepted it. So that's, but again, I'm.
Yeah, but like other ones didn't.
Discovery is a very bad word around a couple of my friends. Like they don't. I mean, I agreed to a point with them. The Klingons were wrong looking. If they had made the Klingons look like Klingons, I don't think that backlash would have been there. They would have been more accepted to the other changes that happen. But because of that one big factor, and I understand there's a huge back history that Klingons didn't always look like that. There was a disease that made them change and look more human. There's some like really, you know, convoluted backstory to the Klingon universe. But it still, it was very odd. And then, you know, to accept that there's this amazing ship that was around when they still had their big flat screen TVs, you know, up. It was...
Yeah, like I said, it's a hit or miss for me. There's some episodes of Discovery that I really dug, and there were some that were like, what? Like that whole Red Angel thing? Like,
yeah.
What the hell is
this? Yeah, that was the
Spock
second
comes
season.
Back with a beard, and then you have Pike, and then like, yeah. What the hell is going on here? Like I said, some I liked, some of those just scratched my head like,
Well, I mean, really, it was Spock and Pike for a long time, and when you go back to the original series, it was them. There was no Kirk at the beginning. It was Spock, Pike, and there was a different number one at the time, a female actress that was on there. But yeah, I can see what they were trying to do, but it was just, there was too much change. There's okay with a little bit of change happening, but that was just way too much change, I think, for even the Star Trek fans.
Yeah, it's a big shock to the system, especially if you're used to something for so long, then also, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're going to look like that? No, I just, you know, just, I like it. But you know, some people didn't. So
yep.
But get used to it, Trekkie fans. They're moving forward.
It that's is coming the thing. And I can't wait for forward. This Section 31 because this has been like something that's always been kicked around.
That's been around for a long time.
Yeah. Next generation. I think time frame is when they first rolled that verbiage out. And then it's just always been kicked around as a TV show, and I guess they're not going to let it go. They're going to try to finally do something with it. So hopefully we'll see you down the road. What you got?
Well, guess what we got this week? I think last week we reported that we've had our first footage of the Batman suit with Robert Pattinson and Matt Reeves directing the film. It was like a 15-10 second. You barely saw the suit. It was in a red lighting
camera test, or what they were calling it.
Camera test, whatever they're calling it. Well, this week we finally got some pictures dropped of the entire suit and his motorcycle. Apparently, it's going to be a bat cycle in this movie. And they showed these pictures, showed the bat suit in full form. And I got to say, I dig it. Very Arkham and very year one type. That's the big analysis I can say about the suit. It looks tactical, which I kind of dig. So it's kind of like that Nolan feel, but it still has like the Batman look with the logo and everything. Has the goggles too, which is kind of like a nod to the Ben Affleck Batman who used goggles, I think, in Justice League. So there's a nod there, and looks like a little something in his what is it? Not the cowl, but around his neck, it's like a little pop up collar almost, which doesn't really bug me too much. There was no cape in it, so I'm thinking they're probably going to CGI the cape later on. But from what you see in these photos, I kind of like what I see.
It was all right. Again, it's same thing we talked about. I think they're showing too much of something because it's not done. You actually can see like around his eyes, it was like you could still see his skin tone, and I knew there were CG things missing. And I'm just going back to what I said last week, and I'll just stop at that point. They're showing too much. I don't want to see how my donuts are made. Let me see it when it's done. So and I just like. Yeah. It bothered me almost. The mask reminded me of the I think it was 1940s or 50s black and white Batman, where it was this hood that he put on, and you could actually see his whites around his eye, the skin color, and that's really what it reminded me of. I was like, okay, yeah. I like the form that they're going with. Everything's going to be tactical nowadays. You're not going to see the fake muscles on him like you did in the Tim Burton style. That's the past. Now if we're going to see a superhero doing something, it's going to still have that tactical look to it nowadays. But I just don't want to see that much of it.
I like the look of the gauntlets, though. He doesn't have, the usual gauntlets that he has. They're more, square with these, I guess, little arrows on them. So that's very year one-esque, which I kind of dig. So, and he was driving through a graveyard, which makes me think, I wonder if they're going to do that one scene or one panel.
Well, they already talked a year ago that they were doing the Halloween one. I mean, people are, dropping.
But I wonder if they'll throw in that one.
Go ahead.
I was wondering if they're going to throw in that one panel scene where I believe he goes to a dinner of because a bunch of criminals or crime lords and it's a family, and he goes in there and he just enters the dinner foray, and basically he spits out this speech of this is how you eat, you basically are robbing Gotham. He's like, you no longer rob Gotham anymore. He's like, tonight is when Gotham strikes back. It's along those lines, and he basically, you see him covering the meal. And all the candles go out. I hope they do something like that because that would be really, really dope.
Yeah, they may. And like I said, I know they're going through the long Halloween version because they talked about that over a year ago. And I've been seeing websites dropping this is what they think they were gonna. He's already said that's what he's doing. He's already even said that's the reading material that he's read, and this is what he told Robert to read. So he's going that route.
And he's going more detective noir, so I cannot wait to see that.
But that was the Halloween one. That was more detective noir. So I mean, it's still sticking to what he originally said a year ago when he was given and it was announced. He was taking over. So nothing new is happening in that side of it.
That's good because actually we'll get that crime deductive skills that he has. I mean, we've seen him every now and then in a couple movies, but we not all the way through. So this will be interesting if he follows through with that idea of making it a detective noir movie.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's see. Hopefully they'll do that. I mean, I don't think we've ever really seen a detective Batman ever. It's always been the computer's been the detective. Let me plug this in the computer and it'll figure it out for me. That's really all I've ever seen of Batman.
Yeah, that was the 60s. Yeah. So what you got?
Speaking of DC, we have a departure for DC Comics. Dan Didio is no longer with DC, according to the Hollywood Reporter, Comic Book News. There was a couple other ones that dropped us around that same time. Didio has served as longtime publisher for DC alongside Jim Lee since 2010. And following a six-year stint as a vice president, executive editor, and prior to that, he was vice president editorial. And he was the big man. He was the main figure behind the New 52, and then the universe. Trying to do the DC universe rebirth. So he was a big part over the last, decade of comic books from DC.
That big was departure.
Big departure.
He was there for a long time.
Well, him and Jim Lee, like I said, since 2010, he and Jim Lee have been doing this. Now it's just I'm trying to remember who they have. It's Jim, I think, is the only editor left with them right now.
Jim and I think everybody else is new.
Yeah, and they're big. The big one that I think a lot of the rumor is that's been kicking around is because of the new. The new way that they're going to be doing as soon as they're done with this run this year that they're wrapping up, they're going to start going to Generation Zero and basically doing a revamp of the DC universe and going back, kind of going pre New 52. Actually, they're talking even like back into the 80s in turning it around and saying that our Superman, our Batman, our Wonder Woman, all of our known ones are now truly in their 50s and 60s. And what we're dealing with is a generation, a new, younger generation. And so basically everybody in the comic book run will be what their true age is.
So what, you're going to have like a 70-year-old Batman?
Yes.
that would be his real age.
That is the plan. This is supposed to be going off. They're going to launch the very first book during Free Comic Book Day in May. So everybody can get a taste of it. That is one of the paths that they're going, and a lot of people are feeling that that's the reason he left, because he's not going on board with it.
Yeah, it's the clashing of ideas happens all the time in other businesses, so, that's what's going to happen. Yeah. If they want to reboot this, the entire, DC universe again, that's their prerogative. I don't like it. I kind of like when you keep the continuity going like they have their offshoot brands.
But they're digging themselves a hole right now with Bendis, revealing who Bruce is, and also with I know he's your golden boy right now, but the Batman Who Laughs, let's say he's causing some problems along, not problems, but it's going to be long-term problems down the road of him being existing in this world now. And it's them cleaning it up right now. Another part of that news, though, was AT&T. There was news that this one came out, and I only found it in one location, but I thought it would be something interesting to talk about, was that AT&T, who own Warner Brothers and all the conglomerate, but also part of DC, was saying that if this new turnaround and this new change and story arc that DC is going to start, if that doesn't succeed, they're going to shut down DC Comics. Now I started digging around because they're saying how horrible comic book sales are going right now. This is like the worst time ever. I actually pulled the records up, and I pulled this from Diamond Comic Distributors. And if anybody's familiar with comic books, Diamond Comic Distributors is the end-all, be-all to comic book sales. And basically it's saying from the decade decade of 2010s and ending on a note, a growth note, actually, the comic book industry has gone up. It's for 2019. Obviously, we can't talk about 2020 because we're only a month in. But it says it's increased up to 2.23%, which basically boils down to 11.5 million over what 2018 was. So it's gone up over 2018. Big part of it is, they're talking Marvel, the big moves that Marvel has done, and then also with Star Wars coming around. But I'm looking at the numbers right now, and the only numbers I can really see right now is like 2018 was at $1.95 billion for overall United States sales. Now the one thing that
they want to shut it down after those numbers.
These are just numbers for overall every comic book sale. That includes DC, Marvel, Independence, your Dark Horse, your Image, all those other ones. The one that now the one area that I do know is hurting, and I'm probably going to be completely to blame on this podcast for one of that, is the digital sales. Now that is at that has gone up 100 to 100 million. That's been slowly been growing and growing. So that is part of it. Now overall, DC ranks as 30% of the total comic book sales. Marvel as 40%, and then of course your Image, your Dark Horse, IDW. They fill in the buffers and the rest. So, I mean, it's not a crap industry that we keep hearing. I don't know who these... I know these are websites that I read about where they're screaming that the end of the world is coming, you know, for the comic book industry. Yes, I keep hearing about all these comic book stores shutting down. But here, dude, here in Orlando, how many comic book stores do we have that keep opening? I think in the last year we had a few. Two.
I think it was two.
Two or
I
three know, that came up.
Yeah, because I know somebody who used to work at Acme. He opened his own comic book shop, a straight comic book shop. It was not too far from where Acme is now.
Yeah, you have
Coliseum Comics.
You have Coliseum. You have Acme. You have Banff that just opened up last year. You have that, you know, that Guns and
my
Ammo
favorite.
Place.
Yeah, I was gonna say Guns and Comics.
Yeah, Guns and Ammo or Guns and Comics. Yeah, I mean, there's like in this our area alone. So yeah, that would make it three in my head now. Now I'm thinking because Banff, then the Guns and Comics. There's a place in Sanford that just opened up. There's another one. That opened up in or a couple of opened up in Orlando. There's a Mike's comic that's I think Mike's has been there for a long time.
Now Mike's been there for a while.
Yeah, but I'm just saying every comic book store I know that I've gone to is there. They haven't gone away. Acme's been there since I think the 80s or mid 90s
for a while. A couple of new ownership trades.
Yeah, I mean ownership trades. But that, to me, I'm just like everything I read all over the place about people screaming about this bad time. I don't see it. I do see digital is a problem. Or it could be a problem for them, but they're still getting their money's worth. Trust me, when I buy digital, I'm not getting a discount. All right, I'm still paying the $3.99 or $4.99 depending on the price. Sometimes so they'll do bulk discounts or something like that. But so will comic book stores.
Yeah, I mean this past week I spent $20 for 5 comics. So you know they're making money from me. Yeah. So I don't understand this whole doom and gloom naysayers out there.
So that's why I thought it was funny when I saw the article about AT&T going, oh, if DC doesn't sell, I was like, that's kind of a overbearing little thing to do. I mean, they wouldn't stop making DC movies and TV shows. That product would still be there because Batman's one of their biggest products. They're not going to kill that off, but they would stop printing comics. And I just, you know, like I said, I had to do the research on my own. I'm like, okay, I went to a bunch of websites and checked out, you know, Diamond Comics. I also checked out Comicron, which the Comicron's another like one of the secondary big comic book sellers. So I checked them out, and they all are pretty much the same, saying the same thing. It's doing good. It's gone up. So it's been consistently since 2015. It's been in the billion mark. 2017 it took a dive, but then it came back in 2018. So I'm not sure what numbers you're looking at.
Yeah, that's the weird take. That's just a doom and gloom naysayer. They're always out there, always predicting doom and gloom. So I really pay no attention. I just posted it because I thought it was interesting.
Well, that's why I read it too, and I was like, because when I saw who it was from, and they're a pretty reputable group, I'm like, okay, that's odd that they would say something like that. And that's when I went to did my own research, and I'm like, okay, they are way off on that one. I don't not sure. But again, that the one that you posted about, that was actually since September last year when I actually looked at the origin of the comment of AT&T that they were, that was like September of last year. But I'm not looking forward to this. It's making me even sadder that I'm gonna have to go another year or so without DC, because I don't, it sounds like I don't like the direction they're going to go. I'll give them a shot, but I don't, they're talking about having a Superman comic book without Superman in it or him being the 80-year-old Superman.
They're trying to be too cute. I think sometimes when you try to tinker with something, you mess it up even worse.
And it's going to bite them in the butt, and they're going to have to take a hit. And
yeah.
But yeah, that's just something.
Kind of like what Bendis has done with Superman, which I just really don't agree with. Yeah. I mean, I thought when he came on a ride, I was like, oh, wow, like the beginning, he had this different villain. And then, oh, by the way, the whole world knows who you are. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's when, he first came on, he was doing, making great changes and great
strides. Yeah, I love the changes he was making.
I was like, I don't know, what did you hit a roadblock and you just like start pulling shit out of your hat, going, oh, I'm gonna do, oh, we're gonna say who he is. But it's just like back when they were trying to kill off Superman, the whole thing about the death of Superman back in the 90s, they ran out of really options because back then, if nobody knows or remembers or have seen a documentary about it, back late 80s, early 90s, the comic book industry truly was in dire strait. DC was on the verge of bankruptcy. I think Marvel had already done bankruptcy, but they were all like, it was bad times. And every year they would sit down and plan, okay, what's happening in our world? And they would plan out the whole year. And there was one guy, he says, every year we get there, somebody would always put up on the board, kill Superman, kill Superman. Finally, they were at just the wit's end. And he's like, well, what about that one? And they're like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
and it worked. It brought me back.
Yeah, it did. It brought a lot of people back because that was a big thing. I mean, it was on the news. I remember that. Okay. They were like, one of our favorite DC characters, Superman, and the cover itself. I was like, oh my God, they're really gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the comic run was pretty good too, by the way. I mean,
yeah, it was. Yeah,
not just one of those things like, oh, I'm just gonna kill him off, and you know, he didn't get killed by like a silver or kryptonite bullet. It was actually a real storyline. They actually made it sense.
And it lasted a year, I believe. And it was a ripple effect. It impacted everybody. There were Batman editions that where he was dealing with the grief of his loss of his friend. There was grief all over the place, and it was a ripple effect on all of DC, which it was cool to see. But again, they can't do that. You can only pull that card out once. I know he's died a few times. What's the rule? Nobody stays dead except for Uncle Ben.
Yeah, well, it used to be Uncle Ben and Bucky.
It used to be Uncle Ben and Robin, but that went away too.
Yeah, it used to be three: Uncle Ben, Robin, and Bucky. And then Robin and Bucky.
Yeah, they had to break those rules. All right, two good characters. So what do you got now?
Hey, guess what? WB Montreal is still saying they're going to release this long-awaited Batman game. Good Lord, I think I've reported on this for the last couple year almost.
Yeah, I think so. And, yeah, every couple of months you pop up coming, with that. Hey, Batman's coming.
Yeah, they keep saying it's a reboot, but according to Warner Brothers, Montreal's upcoming Batman game is going to be a reboot. Not a continuation that we thought. If anybody has played the Arkham Knight game, spoilers, at the end of the game, Batman Bruce Wayne supposedly dies, or he doesn't. Depending if, what's your viewpoint on that. But yeah, it's going to be an entire reboot. The villains are going to be the Court of Owls still. And as reported, they say that sometime this year, it's going to come out. I'm thinking maybe it's going to happen during not D23. What's that big video game thing they have in July?
I don't know. You're the video game guy.
I think it's E3. E3, yeah. I think they're going to unveil it during E3. That'll be the smartest thing they do, along with the PS4, PS5, which is going to be released sometime during the holiday season, I believe. But yeah, they're rebooting the whole thing. And from what I've read, it's going to be open world again. You're going to play with the Batmobile again, not as much as Arkham Knight, but you're going to have the Bat family, as every one of them is going to be playable. So if you want to play as Robin, you can play as Robin. If you want to play as Nightwing, you play as Nightwing. Batgirl even. So the entire Bat family will be available to play as. Which is interesting, yeah. But yeah, they're not a reboot. I mean, it is going to be a reboot, so hopefully we'll hear some more solid news instead of these nuggets I keep hearing every now, because it's getting me pissed off, to be honest. I'm like, I want to report, hey, this is the trailer, this is what's coming out, but every week they keep dropping nuggets, teasing me even more, and hopefully we'll get some more solid news soon instead of these annoying little nuggets that I keep reporting on.
Well, hopefully. I hear another thing is being, it was just announced last week, a movie series, Planet of the Apes, had dropped some news that they were going to be restarting up Planet of the Apes, and everybody lost their crap on the internet because whoever originally dropped it, said that it was going to be a reboot. And Disney quickly came out and said, no. This is not a reboot. This is a sequel. So we will be supposedly we will be seeing the continuation of Caesar and his apes. So I'm very happy with that. I was late to the show when it came to those. I think I watched the first one, but then I didn't get a chance to catch the last two until much later. And I'm, you know, big fan of them. I'm a fan of the original Planet of the Apes as well. I mean, huge fan of the original one, even the TV show, unfortunately. Yeah, it was pretty rough to watch that.
It was bad.
But yeah, I was lucky. Years and years ago, I met this girl. We dated for a while, but she was also a fan of the Planet of the Apes. So we could just sit around and just watch Planet of the Apes all the time. It was great. Yeah, so I was excited to see that they were not rebooting it. I understand people want to reboot things, want to reboot classics, but you need time to mourn. Let it breathe. Don't jump right into it. You know, that's just wrong. And I when I heard them doing that, I was like, dang, it's only been a few years. You can't be jumping into a reboot that quickly. But once I heard it was going to be a sequel, I was all for it and excited. So I know you were a fan of the newer ones, weren't you? Or are?
Mm-hmm. I love the Matt Reeves one. The last two that he directed, they were fantastic. And this is good news to me that they're actually going to continuation. Spoilers, if you haven't watched the last one, it's been out for a couple of years. Caesar dies, but his son lives on. And I think if they're going to go in a direction, they're probably going to go in the direction of the original series.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his son Cornelius is still alive. So I think, you know, the next venture will be actually the apes ruling the world, kind of like close to the Charlton Heston OG original series. So that's probably where they're going to go. I mean, logic would dictate that. But then again, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, because they're not really following the book. I mean, if the Charlton Heston version of it, they started off at a different location in a different way. So that's why I'm kind of interested to see. They are going more realistic. Even the Charlton Heston one wasn't like the book. I mean, the book was completely different. The one that was closest to the book was the Mark Wahlberg one, the Burton one. That was closer to the book, actually. In the book, it starts off talking about this family, and they're in a spaceship and they're traveling around, and they're like, hey, let's read this book. We found this floating around in space. Let's read it. And they're retelling the story of this guy that crash landed, and that, you know, these apes and everything. And as you come to the end of the book, you discover it's apes reading the book.
Yeah.
And it was just a complete twist. And I liked that to the Tim Burton one started that direction. I was like, oh, is he going to do a straight point for point? And he really almost did. Mm-hmm. You sit over there and grumble, but that was really the book. That's the thing. Whether people disliked it, how it ended, and everything like that. Ugh, that's how
bad.
But that was the book. He did.
I know. I'm just saying that ending was just. You know, I would agree with you to a point. The movie was okay until that ending. To me, I thought it was. I was like, oh, this is not bad. You know, it's, you know, like you said, because I didn't read the book, but I've heard about it. And that ending just really left a sour taste in my mouth.
But that was the original. It's like when people complain that, oh, you changed my book. Well, guess what? This one, they didn't change the book, and people didn't like it.
It just, I'm not a fan of that movie. I'm sorry. Thank God for Matt Reeves and Rupert Thorne.
No, not Thorne.
Thorne's a Batman villain, isn't he? what's the guy's director's name who directed the first Planet of the Apes?
I don't remember, man. You're
it was Rupert something.
You're the one that remembers all the behind the scenes and the people in the trailers. I forget.
Rupert Wyatt. Rupert Wyatt. That's his name. I'm sorry. Yeah, Rupert Wyatt did a great job the first film, and then Matt Reeves came on, and then he had done a film previous to that that I was okay. I think it was called The Funeral. Solid movie, but then he came on and probably directed the best two after the first one. Well, the first one was really good too. Even James Franco was solid in the first one. But very underrated trilogy. If you guys have never seen it, do yourself a favor. You know, get the girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. It's called Friday Night and watch all three of those movies. They are really, really solid from the beginning to end.
Yes, sir. So what do you got next?
Well, one of our favorites that we have talked about many, many times in the Asylum, Netflix's Sandman is in pre-production. Get excited. It's in pre-production. And Daniel Rackman of Entertainment Reporter has reported of the two main characters is going to be Morpheus and the murderous Corinthian. I think I'm saying that correctly. Corinthian?
Yeah.
I think it's part. Neil Gaiman is going to be a part of this series, by the way. I think he's going to be he's going to be like an overseer, help with the script here and there. Hopefully he doesn't direct anything because he has never directed anything in his life. But yeah, they're in pre-production of The Sandman, and I know that excites you a lot.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, again, this is very similar to what I had reported last week, was that we were talking about that they had people coming in reading it for those lines, so for Morpheus and Corinthian. And honestly, I don't know why you hate on first time directors. Give them a shot, dude. Everybody's got to start somewhere. Everybody has to start. And some of your favorite movies are first time directors.
Some of them.
No, but still,
if you're gonna direct for the first time, go small. Don't go big.
Why? Go big or go home, dude. Oh, I mean, start.
If this is movies, these are your productions. It costs over $50 million, $100 million, and you're gonna entrust like rookie directors to that? No,
that makes me sad that you feel.
I want a good movie. Like, if you want to get your feet wet.
But you always have those people that the first time they do something, they nail it out of the park. It's their follow-ups.
Yeah, but then you have
guys
like Nolan. Nolan started with two indie movies. They made a little bit of money, and then Warner Brothers like, hey, you want to do the Batman? And then he knocked it out of the park. That's what I'm saying. Start somewhere. I don't like rookie director. That's always been a pet peeve. Like, who's this guy?
We just did a movie watch along for a rookie director.
Oh, that's different.
Well, how's it different? How is that any different? Like I said, there are a lot of movies that you like that those directors, those guys have always worked behind the scenes, and they know what to do.
Favreau had done Swingers before, so
he was producer. There's a lot of directors. There's a lot of actors that sit there and watch people and watch people direct. It's a lot of times the director's not doing much but calling action, calling for, hey, I go at this angle, not this angle. They're not the ones setting up the storylines. You know, so this give them a chance. I just think that's of anybody, you should be like, hey, give the dude a chance.
I don't know. That's why I'm worried about McFarlane directing the Spawn movie. I'm very concerned about that. Great toy maker, but a director. I mean, comic book artist, he's great, but the director.
He's been in everything. He's been part of all of his movies, animated stuff. Yeah, give him a chance, man. If you watch somebody do something long enough, it's going to osmosis wise get into you and understand. Okay, that's when you do this. That's when you do this. TV shows. Their actors usually end up being directors and producers on that because they sit and watch and watch and watch over time. I can do that, and then they do it, and it's not that they don't train wreck after that.
Yeah, but TV shows are a little bit differently run than movies.
Okay.
Just saying. But anyway, they are in pre-production of that, so probably that's going to come out sometime, probably next year sometime. That's what I'm thinking. So look forward.
It's Netflix, dude. They run pretty quick. You might see them in October. They run real quick when it comes to Netflix. Well, dude, when Netflix starts doing production on something, man, bam, it's out. How long ago did we hear about He-Man coming out? They're about a couple months away from dropping it. It's real quick when it comes to TV shows.
And Lock and Key. Lock and Key came out recently, too. That's another one that like they announced, and all of a sudden, like, oh, they're done.
This won't take long at all because they're only doing 10, 11 episodes, maybe. They're always doing smaller runs. Once they get everything going, Netflix is a movie making machine, so I wouldn't be too worried about it.
I can't wait for this series, though. I'm just concerned, not concerned, but I'm always thinking, like, because the books are very heavy. And I wonder how that adaptation to taking it to series and live action is going to go, especially with a character like Morpheus. He's a complicated character as is, and so is Corinthian. So I'm just wondering what kind of vibe they're going to go with. So, but it's interesting. We'll see.
This day and age, I'm never too worried about it. That's some of the crap I see them make movies and do on TV shows, I'm really not too worried about. I mean, just think of in the last 5 years, what shows we've seen, and we thought we would never see something like that.
So that should be coming soon, I hope.
Speaking of Netflix, Netflix announced last week the Transformers. They are going to be dropping Transformers War of Cybertron. And if anybody's familiar with anything Transformers-wise, there was a War of Cybertron video game, and I think they're going to kind of base it off of that. It's anime, so it's not going to be your typical cartoon style that we're used to from Transformers. It's probably going to be more based off the original. They dropped a minute and a half trailer, 2 minute trailer last week. Looks great. Voice actors sound great.
Is that Peter Cullen doing Prime, or is it somebody
else? Like him, but I don't know if it's him. Like because he is so much older, his voice is different. But it's not. I don't know. It's just very weird on it. But the characters I see in there, they're going back to the history of Prime. They're talking to, like, if anybody's familiar with Optimus Prime and what he originally was. He was originally Orion Pax, and he has a girlfriend, and it looks as though that girl is still there with him in one of the scenes. So, I mean, it's very interesting. But thank God Bumblebee can freaking talk. we see classic G1 Transformers all over the place. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do and how they do, you know, and where they go. If it is the original, or if they do a lot of the anime and they stick to the Japanese style, it's going to be out of this world. I mean,
it looks great. I mean, I think when you posted it, you had so much excitement. We were like, look at this. Oh my God. And then I saw it. I was like, yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Because it looks really good. Keeps its standards from the G1 series. Like you said, the designs are really spot on. The voices, I mean, like I said, I don't know if that's Peter Cullen, but whoever it is, he sounds like Optimus Prime.
He's close, but it just didn't feel like it had the power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's like you said, Cullen is older now, so he can't.
But I saw him last year at MegaCon, and he sounded fine. Like, he still sounded like he had that presence about him. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Him and Frank Welker. Hopefully they're on that series. Welker and Cullen got to be on there.
I thought that was Welker when I heard Megatron talking.
That's what I was saying. Like, it sounds like did they get them all back?
Like I said, when I went to MegaCon, I was there at one of the conventions or one of the convention rooms with Welker and Cullen. So they were both there. They were still doing really well. So they're great friends, actually. They rag on each other the whole show.
Well, they've been around. They're basically a married couple. I mean, they've been together so long. I mean,
well, you think just Transformers, but they've been doing other things as well. I mean, even before Transformers, they were known around town as some of the best voice actors. So,
well, hopefully they'll be involved in that series.
So, what do you have next?
Good. Guess what we got, Mike? I know you're gonna be happy about this. Venom 2. We got our first look. Not our first look. I guess you could say our. First look out of the cage of Cletus Cassidy, played by Woody Harrelson. Venom 2 should be coming out, I believe, this October, if I'm not mistaken, directed by Andy Serkis.
Yep.
You didn't see the symbiote Carnage. You're not going to see that, but you saw Cletus Cassidy and just walking around in a, you know, cool flower shirt. So
I dug this. Was that a shirt or was that a jacket?
It looked like a jacket or some kind of shirt.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Again, I wasn't, you know, it was one of those anti-Venom fan or people, you know, at the beginning, but, you know, once I watched, it was fun. I don't know how they're tying everything in together. It is cool that they're gonna have, you know, Carnage there. Are they just making sure they treat Carnage right? That's the biggest thing is what they do with him.
That's a character that people have called him, like, he's like the Joker of Marvel, but he's more psychotic and he can, you know, he's a murderer. I mean, that's a character you got to take care of.
He was the one last year carrying the Marvel, the Marvel flag there for a while for the Ultimate Carnage what was it?
Yeah, that's one of the comic books that you read. Yeah, you said it was really good.
Yeah, the whole crossover, man. He touched on everybody, and you know, you got to treat him right. I know they can't do the Spider-Man thing, but that's the good thing about.
Speaking of that. I'm glad you talked about that. Question.
7 inches.
What is the...
Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun. Sorry.
That's the wrong podcast. Anyway, what's the over-under, your opinion? Do you think that we get a Tom Holland sighting in this movie?
Under.
Under?
I think it's still... I don't think...
If it's if I give you the odds of 20%, do you go over or under?
Under, still under. I'm gonna go over. Well, no, you would. You're the positive fanboy in this aspect. You always.
I have to be the eternal optimist. Yeah. I just feel that I think you're gonna see him. It might be for like a little second.
Should be there 100%. I'd go over that. Should he be there? Yes. Will he be there? No, because I don't think. With everything that's went on with the Disney and Sony back and forth contractual thing, I don't think he was ready for it to be released there. He's dealing with his other one, and I think the other side of the world, the Morbius side, is going to be where he'd be more connected to. We may now, if you want to say, will there be a sign of a Spider-Man? I'd probably go over, but like a sighting of Tom himself. Or Spider-Man himself, but yeah.
No, Spider-Man you won't see. I'm just talking about Tom.
No, Tom, no. If they were going to do it, they should have done a Venom 1. Just a quick one.
So do you think, like, maybe, how about this? let's just say there's a scene where Cletus is walking down the street, right? And he's passing by, let's say, some kind of video store, TV store. What about if you see like Spider-Man in the background on like a TV set, like, hey,
maybe, like I said, if it's just like in the background, but no, him, Tom Holland himself, no, they could have done that a long time. They could have simply hinted that they are in the same world simply by just drew a blank on the character's name. Eddie Brock, having just Eddie's having one of his freak out moments, walking down the street, and he bumps into somebody. Oh, sorry, man. And it's Tom. That would have done. But I don't think they should have done that the first one. I don't think they'll do it now.
Well, I think they might.
Only reason I'm saying is because of the contract thing that was going on last year with whether he should.
Yeah,
or
what is it that he? And I think one more movie.
Yeah, and then one more. And all that was happening when this movie was being filmed. So I don't think that they got their clearance.
There could be a sighting. I'm just saying that the possibility. If like I said, 20%, I'm going to go over.
Yeah,
there's a possibility. So.
Yep, that's I would definitely like I said, I know you're the optimist here, so I
have to be. Somebody has to.
All right, so
what you got for us,
next
sir?
One, actually, folks, and this one is going into the world of Star Wars. All right, this is going to hurt some people out there, and I do apologize to be involved in this side of the Star Wars universe. It's going to take a little bit more out of you. It's a big thing in Star Wars. It's right around the corner. Lucasfilms has been teasing something that they have codenamed Project Luminous for months. They have been talking about it. What exactly the codename is, we do not know what it is, but we will tomorrow. Monday, February 24th, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. That is according to Clayton Sandel. He's a news correspondent for ABC, has shared that Lucasfilms will be announcing what their Star Wars Project Luminous will finally be. Again, we're not sure. We're going to find out more about it. But the rumor is during the Star Wars publishing panel at the New York Comic Con, Lucasfilm kind of teased that project with a message. It says the Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's his energy that flows the energy field created by all living things until Project Luminous 2020 is what they announced. This message is kind of a direct quote, you know, or sort of a direct quote from Obi-Wan. And they're talking that some of their partners, the Lucasfilm partners, are gearing up for some production. And this includes the Lucasfilm Press, Del Rey, Marvel, and also IDW Publishing is ramping up for this project. So this is going to be very heavy Star Wars going back to the comics. And I found the one thing I found so interesting was it's Marvel and IDW Publishing doing something together. That's like kind of like Marvel DC. Yeah. They'll drop their little doing stuff like, but Marvel and IDW doing stuff in Del Rey, if nobody's familiar with Del Rey, they are the ones that pretty much did everything for Star Wars in the literary world
back in the day.
Well, so I mean, there's something coming down through books and comic books for Star Wars, and this is a big thing for them. I mean, they're finally done with the Skywalker saga, and they're wanting to grow. And I think this is the best way. And something I've preached, you've mentioned as well. You've always had my back when I mentioned it. Star Wars lived forever on paper. In between the movies. And we're there now at that time. I mean, other than the TV shows, and right now we only have two, so the Clone Wars and Mandalorian, where we will have second Mandalorian by the end of the year. I think they're talking about the Cassian Andor movie or TV series. That should start up by the end of the year or the beginning of next year. So, but there's still a void, and the void will be filled with some books and some comic books. And I'm looking forward to it.
Should be interesting. I wonder what they're going to do. I mean, that's big, heavy announcement, you know, Obi-Wan. And, you know, like you said before, you know, Star Wars has lived, breathed for the longest times and on paper. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see it going back, especially with IGN and all that. That fascinates me. And Marvel, I mean, they haven't.
Yeah, Marvel and IDW, yeah.
IDW, I'm sorry. Why did I say IGN?
IGN, I know, that's sir. But yeah, that's I'm looking forward to it and seeing what they're going to do. This is their way of now filling in the blanks. If nobody's ever read, goodness, I wish I could remember the gentleman's name. I think it's Dennis something or other. But he did the series of Aftermath. There's a 3-book series. He got let go by Disney a few years back. Some things he, I guess, had shared on Twitter years and years ago, came back and bit him in the butt. But one of the next two, next to Zahn, he was probably one of the most prolific, authors inside of Star Wars. He's the one that explained what happened right directly after the Return of the Jedi, what happened to the Republic, how did things get started. He's even the one that gave us the ending and the eventual demise of one Jar Jar Binks.
Sad ending for Jar Jar.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys read that, so if they're going to do something like that to pick up after this and say, you know, because at the end, they were truly saying, you know, the Force is out there for everybody. That was one thing that Luke kept pushing back, that the Jedi were wrong. The Jedi, it's the Force isn't just for us. It's for everyone. Everybody has the Force in them at some form or the other. And that's why it was interesting that they used that quote from Obi-Wan, that, you know, the Force is what gives a Jedi its power. It's an energy field created by all living things. So that's why I'm very interested and looking forward to it. So we will find out tomorrow, February 24th. Well, tomorrow for us, probably tonight for you guys. At 9 p.m., they will be announcing what is coming for Star Wars.
Yeah, so stay tuned and stay on the Heroes Asylum Facebook page. We will post it right away whenever it comes out. So should be interesting.
Yes, sir.
Very interesting.
What do you have?
Oh, next? I guess I go.
Yeah, back to you.
The Batman Who Laughs is coming to the animated series. Animated toy series, that is. The 6.75, it's a 6-inch figure, just got released, along with a couple others, at the ToyCon, which was at New York this past week. And they unveiled their new line that's coming out, along with a new comic book, which is coming out, I believe, in April, which is going to continue the animated series. And it's going to basically fill in the blanks. They've released a lot of figures that will be attached to the comic. The Batman Who Laughs is not. But they're making him in the style of the Batman the Animated Series. They released a Thomas Wayne Flashpoint Batman in the style of the Animated Series, which looks really cool. They released Jason Todd, Red Hood, who is going to be part of the comic also. Apparently, he's going to be a big part of it. They're going to mention that Robin. And a couple other figures got released, new versions of Batman, Poison Ivy, Catwoman, et cetera, et cetera. And those should be coming to the shelves around July and June at a $30 price point. Could be cheaper. A lot of them I've seen is $20, but they say $30. I don't believe that. If you're going to put in a toy shelf, you want at least at that $19.99 price point, except for some other places which are price gouge. But yeah, the Batman Who Laughs is one of those figures, and characters only been around for a couple of years and has a huge following. If you guys don't know who he is a hybrid between Bruce Wayne from Earth -27. He basically had enough of the Joker, broke his neck, but unknownst to him, when he died, the Joker had released a gas that I guess was inside of his heart somehow. It affected Bruce, and he basically became the Batman Who Laughs. He has all the insane tendencies of the Joker, but with the while retaining the fighting skills and intelligence of Bruce Wayne. So the Batman Who Laughs figure is coming to a store near you.
Yeah, and if you don't know who Batman Who Laughs last, then you've never listened to one of our shows. So, yeah, I saw that one. I thought that was kind of cool to put him into the style of the animated series and the other ones that they were coming out with. I thought was really cool because there is still a large fan base for the animated series. I mean, not, you know, just people like us that grew up with it, but there were people that were, you know, were children that watched this. I mean, you know, I remember when it came out, I was like late. Like my high school years, I think I was like 17, 18, something like that, when that first came out. So you know, then you also had the kids that collected the toys, and those kids are, you know, we're in their 30s now, and they're the money makers, keeping a lot of the collectible areas alive. And if they're still comic book fans, they would love to see that addition to it. So
yeah, and especially the way they look now, they're more detailed. I mean, back then, you know, they were what they were. I mean, I bought a couple of them, and they were okay. But now they're just really, really detailed.
To me,
six
Batman,
inch, or not 5-inch no more. It just.
But the animated Batman to me wasn't a detailed thing. They were just bulky.
No, I know. I'm just saying they added some detail to
it. Oh, did they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they added some. Like, it still retains the same form, and as far as the sculpt and the head goes, but they just added like a little details here and there.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check.
Which makes it look pretty cool. Yeah, check them out. It looks pretty cool. So.
Oh,
and that comes on the heels of the McFarlane line, which is doing really well, by the way. I've checked. McFarlane released another video. He was also at ToyCon, and he released his second wave of his McFarlane multiverse figures, and he has a couple of new ones. I think there's a Green Lantern I saw, a Batgirl, a Poison Ivy, and another Batman from the Arkham series, Harley Quinn, and there's a couple other ones. I'm just going by memory right now. But they look really cool. I mean,
if anybody's
cool.
ever wanted to see McFarlane draw for DC and do DC, this is your only chance, really. He's even said it. He's like, this is the reason why I made a deal with DC, because I can't go about, I can't go draw for them. He's too power controlling. But he was like, this is my way of actually putting my stamp into DC world, because most likely what DC will do is maybe take some of his drawings and turn them into the comic, or take his toy line and put them into the comic book. And now guess what? McFarlane is DC.
Yep.
So make sure you guys, get out there and support that run and grab some of those, because they are.
Yeah, like they said, look really cool.
If you're a DC fan and a McFarlane fan, this is your chance to grab it and you know, get what we thought we'd never see.
Yeah, they're on. I've seen them in shelves in Target, Walmart. You can check your local department stores. The local comic book shops don't have them yet. I've seen a lot of them on eBay, a couple on Amazon. So check those sites out. Beware of price gouging. A lot of people out there, originally those price points are $19. Some people are selling for $40, for $50. Don't go there. You can find some reasonable sites, especially Amazon. Captain has, you know, been a big backer on Amazon, so check it out there. And support the McFarlane one. That's really cool. So.
Very good. My last bit of news, sort of an exclusive, Justice League Dark Apocalypse. The Apocalypse War cast has been that they have released a still, and they have also released the cast list for them, which I think is amazing to see. I've been a fan of Kane and I have been a fan of the DC animated universe. We've preached about it. It's one of those wish list things that we want to do, start doing a watch along or start doing reviews for those. Kane's already done a couple, but we're just fans of it. And then, of course, the Justice League Dark series looks amazing. And what they've done with that one and Constantine and Swamp Thing and Boston Brand and Zatanna. Now what they're doing is they're basically bringing them into the fold with Justice League, which looks great. The voice cast, including alum of Matt Ryan, who's got Ben Constantine, was made to be Constantine.
Constantine.
Jerry O'Connell, he did the voice of Superman during the death of Superman. He's famous for Stand By Me. And Tiesa Farmiga, she did The Nun, The Mule, American Horror Story. She's going to be an anchor on the cast for Raven. So we're looking for that. And then they've got some returning, alums. We have Jason Omar for his Batman, Rosario Dawson as Wonder Woman. Which
you
I thought
say Rosie O'Donnell.
I was about ready to. but a lot of the returning cast from everything we've seen in the DC universe of the Justice League series of movies, they're going to be on there. Rebecca Romaine Stamos is going to be coming back. Christopher Graham, Rainn Wilson from The Office, who's going to be playing Lex Luthor, which I can't wait to hear that one.
that's going to be interesting.
But they've got tons more coming through. You have Tony Todd. If nobody remembers Tony Todd, Candyman is the voice of the villain Darkseid. So I was like, when I saw that, I was like, that's going to be great. We're going to have Etrigan. We were talking about that not too long ago. Etrigan will be back. John Stewart.
Dead Man is going to be there too.
John Stewart, right? Swamp Thing, Captain Boomerang. I don't see Dead Man's name in the list. King Shark will be on here. Yeah, I don't see Dead Man. I'm sure he might pop in as floating in the background. But again, I'm just a huge fan of the DC animated series. The Justice League Dark was one of my favorite of all of those. And then for them to finally have another Justice League Dark and unite everybody.
They're probably basing it off the comic run, I believe. Apocalypse
they're
War
loosely
run.
Because that's a big comic book arc. That just they're loosely going to be basing it off of that. Because I picked up the graphic novel for that. That's a hefty little book there. So
that's a long read.
But they've been doing great on editing for time on those ADAT tapes, and they've done immense and immaculate jobs on them. So I trust them. It's the only thing I trust with DC. I mean, to put it out there, either their comic book runs scare me, their movies scare the living crap out of me. The animated, they are on point, and of course their television runs are on point as well. Everything else, it's like monkey, you know, something with a football. So it's
dark board.
So I'm really
this will stick.
I'm really looking forward to seeing some good DC, because this came into the announcement, because I believe it's this week or next week we're supposed to get the Red Sun dropping.
Yeah, it's supposed to be this week. I think this Friday.
Yeah, so this news story was attached to the announcement of, hey, this is dropping this week. But also the secondary movie that we were waiting for was the next Justice League movie. So if anybody really, truly wants your Justice League, you got it out there. Just got to go find it on the DC Animated. And you'll love it. And that is all I have. Do you have anything more?
And I don't have anything else, Captain.
All right, perfect. You know, there was something I was thinking about that I had not seen yet. I know it's dropped. Seems like it's been doing pretty good, but Fantasy Island, the movie. I hear it's doing, I mean, it's not going to, I didn't expect it to break the bank, but I hear it's a pretty good movie. What would your thoughts be that they, especially in today's age, that could be made into a TV series?
They could do it. Depends how they would do it. I mean, they're going the horror route, I guess, now.
Well, again, to me, you and I've always had this. We've talked this. To me, Fantasy Island was always horror for me. I always looked at whatever happened was a bad thing. It wasn't going to be a good thing. So, and especially with, you know, today's TV series. I mean, you go back and look at American Horror Stories. You know, that's pretty rough. You even look at like Stranger Things, some of the scenes that you have with that monster and you know the blood and the gore and a lot of that. I think I really would like to see something like that to return to TV. And again, that cast would be perfect.
I don't think you'll see it on network TV, but no, I think you could see it in streaming.
Definitely, yeah. I would definitely like to see something along those lines on streaming.
I mean, that'd be, why not? I mean, they're doing everything else. So
exactly.
A Fantasy Island remake, you know, do it 11, 12 episodes.
And it's something that you don't have to worry about a cast. You have to just have him there to introduce what's going on. And then the cast is a rotating cast. Every episode, you know, is a rotating cast. Very similar to how like a Tales from the Crypt movie series were. If you ever watched any of the Tales from the Crypt, you know, it was just the Crypt Keeper, but you had a rotating cast of great actors. Heck, if you even look back, if you go back to the Tales from the Crypt, I think it was the last season, they moved it over to BBC. And you were seeing young actors. You were seeing a young Ewan McGregor. You were seeing a young Christian Bale doing these things. You know, obviously, you know, they were nobody at that time, but you were seeing a young version of that. And I think that would be great, because I miss those old kind of those shows that it's always a rotating cast and it's a different story.
Yeah, I miss it too. I mean, what did that Tales from the Dark Side was another thing like that. Twilight Zone,
or even was it the Amazing Stories? What was it? The
Amazing Stories,
I always love those. Yeah, and there's talk that Stephen King's talking about possibly trying to redo those.
I'd
be all on board for that.
One of my favorite episodes of Amazing Stories, it was Mark Hamill was in it, and he was a toy collector, and his parents always pissed on him. It was like, oh, you keep all these toys, you know, they're not worth anything, and they threw him out of the house, and all he had was his car and all these toys in his car. And also, he was driving around, he was getting old. And then somebody saw all the toys in the back of his car, and he's like, hey, how much is that? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I haven't seen these in a long time. And you see him at the end, he's older, but he's selling all these toys for like, you know, remarkable amounts of money, becomes a millionaire. So, it's one of my favorite ones from Amazing Stories. So I do hope they bring those back.
Of course it would be. You're a collector. See, Mom and Dad, look what I said I'd make money.
See, they're worth something.
Awesome. All right, guys. So, well, that's going to be the end of our show. I think we pretty much wrapped it up. We're not going to do a Legends, like I said earlier. But we just wanted to do a quick show again. You know, thank you guys for supporting us over the last year. Another year's coming. Hopefully we'll see you guys at the end. We're going to do something special for the 100th year. Or 100th year, my God.
100th year.
100th episode. Wow. So you know, hopefully that'll be it. Look, by our numbers, it should fall, you know, during the fall season. So hopefully we'll find something, someplace, throw a little party for anybody that's a fan on Facebook.
And
come out, say hi. You know, we'll figure something out for you guys. But other than that, guys, that is it for the Heroes Asylum. Make sure you guys do check us out on our heroesasylum.com. We got news jumping on there. We got events coming up in a couple of weeks, about 3 more weeks from now, guys. We're going to be at the Kaiser SuperCon number 2 at Kaiser University here in Orlando, Florida. So if anybody's interested, you can find the tickets online. Check out our Facebook page. I've got a link for the invite. Tell us you're going to come, and you can go to the link to buy your tickets on there. And tons of people are going to be out there. A whole bunch of fun is going to be had by all. Yes, also, in May, there is a band coming to town called the Cybertronic Spree. I'm going to be attending. I'm hoping to get Kane to come out. But they do a cosplay for Transformer style from the 1980s. But they rock out with all sorts of different styles of music. They do the Transformers soundtrack. But I'm going to be there. I'm trying to get a bunch of people to show a little Heroes Asylum love and show, you know, start showing Orlando that we're out there and we're here to support that the geek community. So check us out there.
Yes, sir.
And Kane, take it over.
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum and Instagram at Heroes Asylum. Started posting some stuff on Instagram. Slowly but surely, we're going to build up that area. And of course, the main area of contact is the Facebook page at the Heroes Asylum and the Heroes Asylum podcast. We have all sorts of goodies there, news. We got lots of contact in there. People are sharing stuff, liking it. We love it. Keep that stuff going. We love the momentum as we're going to eventually be at KaiserCon March 20th and 21st, 4 to 9 p.m. on Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday. Be there or be square. And as always, from the captain and me, get to the asylum.
See you guys. Have a great week. See you.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.